Oh Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. A young American engineer named Billy was sent to Ireland for 2 years on a 2-year assignment. He had accepted it because it would enable him to put together enough money to marry his long-time girlfriend Irene. She had a job near her home in Tennessee. And their plan was to pull their resources and put down a down payment on a house when he returned. They corresponded often, but as the lonely weeks went by, Irene began having doubts that he was being true to her with all those lovely Irish lassies around. Billy wrote back, declaring with some passion that he was paying absolutely no attention to the local girls. "I admit," he wrote, "that sometimes I'm tempted, but I'm fighting it, I'm keeping myself for you." In the next mail, Billy received a package. It contained a note from Irene and a harmonica. "I'm sending this to you," she wrote, "so you can learn to play it and have something to take your mind off those girls." Billy replied, "Thanks for the harmonica. I'm practicing on it every night and thinking of you." At the end of 2 years, then, Billy was transferred back to the company headquarters, and he took the first plane to Tennessee to be reunited with his girl. The whole family, her whole family was there. But as he rushed forward to embrace her, Irene put up a restraining hand and said sternly, "Just hold on there a minute, Billy, before there's any serious kissing and hugging. Let me hear you play the harmonica." Sadly, I don't know what he did. But she was testing him. And you see, in the same way, we need to be testing the ideas and teachings before we embrace them. John, in his letter, makes it clear that there are counterfeit spirits and ideas trying to lead people astray, God's people astray. And he gives 2 ways that we can know if someone is speaking the truth, and they're not particularly complicated. First, we can know by what they say about Jesus. And secondly, by who's listening to them. A prophet is a person who will speak the word of God with power and with clarity. And often you won't feel very comfortable about what they have to say. But sometimes they can be simply speaking out of the imagination of their minds. And the question needs to be, is this from God or is it not? It is significant that almost every form of deviant Christianity in some way diminishes or distorts the person of Jesus. And that can fool us, because it can sound so rational, it can sound so logical, it can sound so wonderful, but if you push them on who Jesus is, it seems to start crumbling around the edges. And unless we start to do that, we can be deceived. And the test is so simple. Was Jesus truly God's Messiah? The Word made flesh, fully human, fully God. If not, whatever the source of the denial, it cannot be called Christian. A true prophet declares and gives allegiance to Jesus Christ, Lord and Saviour. And I tell you what, everybody I hear speak the Christian message, that's the number one thing I'm listening for. If I don't hear a declaration on the sovereignty of God enshrined somewhere, either implicitly or explicitly in what they say, I then start to think, I'm not so sure about this. John puts it this way, Jesus Christ come in the flesh. And we affirm this in our creeds. We declare and believe that Jesus is Lord, stands at the very heart of our faith. Do away with this declaration and we do away with everything. I remember a friend of mine who was having a meeting with some high-powered theologians, and they were trying to find some common ground. So in desperation, Graham said, "Well, I think we can all agree that Jesus is Lord." And this high-powered theologian said, "Well, actually, I'm not so sure that we can." I guess at that point, if I was in the meeting, I'd be thinking, "I think this meeting's over." Because there's nowhere for us to go. If you haven't resolved that question, you're not actually going to resolve any other question: who Jesus is. See, such a Saviour must be completely human in order to take our place and bear our punishment for sin, shame and guilt. If he is to represent us, he must be like us. On the other hand, it is equally necessary for such a Saviour to be God. Were he merely human, his death would have limited value. It could only pay the penalty for one person and no more. If the Saviour is to be able to bring forgiveness for all, his death must be of immense value. Only God could fulfill such a requirement. Therefore, the Saviour must be both God and human, or he cannot save. Alexandra Flynn was looking forward to the 2002 dance. That was a year or two ago. She left home in high spirits, but she did not have her high school ID with her. And when the man at the door refused her admission without her ID, she went home but was unable to find it. So her mother came back with her to explain and to prove that this was who she said she was. Again, Alex was refused admission without ID. She had the tickets in her hand, but was still not admitted. Even though she was a student president, played the cello in the orchestra, was on some important role as school's number one cheerleader, and spent hours decorating the gym for the dance, she was still not admitted. She did not have the ID. In a similar way, getting into heaven isn't a matter of our good deeds and accomplishments. Without Jesus Christ, who is Lord, we have no ID. This is why it is so really important that we get this sorted and make the choice to follow Jesus. He is our ID. Further, we need clear discernment as to the truth of what we hear. Does it stack up alongside the Bible? And how would we know? We will only know if we're regular at reading it, if we invest time in studying it. Otherwise, we will just hear something and say, "Well, that sounds kind of right," but actually never quite sure unless you've got the rule by which we base what we believe. Seems these days we can be too gullible and exhibit a naive readiness to credit messages and teachings which claim to come from God. It seems religious, so we assume it must be. Big mistake. There is such a thing as misguided charity and tolerance towards false doctrine. Again, just a few years back, but I think we'll all know this and remember this, at least the event, Operation Iraqi Freedom raged, and Muhammad al-Sharaf, Iraq's Minister of Information, daily refuted clear evidence that Iraq was losing the war. On the 6th of April, after the coalition forces seized Baghdad's Saddam Airport and renamed it Baghdad's International Airport, and started flying in planes and ventured into the Baghdad itself, the Miami Herald quoted al-Sharaf saying, "We butchered the forces present at the airport." On the 7th of April, after US troops penetrated central Baghdad and stormed Saddam's Republican palace, the Washington Post quoted al-Sharaf saying, "There is no presence of the American columns in the city of Baghdad at all. We besieged them and we killed most of them." Referred to as Baghdad Bob by the media, his efforts to explain away the coalition force victories as an illusion was tragic. In the same way, our spiritual enemy is already defeated at the cross of Christ, yet he continues to hurl out lies, insults, and condemnations at everyday Christians. And we can be so easily persuaded by it because it sounds plausible. What is the standard by which we are marking what we hear? Now remember, in all this, John, who wrote this letter, walked with Jesus. He had looked into the empty tomb and he believed. He had preached the good news for a lifetime. He had suffered for his faith. Goodness knows how many years on Patmos. He was the last living of the 12 disciples who knew all the facts firsthand. When John dismisses those who oppose him as enemies of God, he could do so in God's name. And as he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's one of my favorite pieces of scripture. When I see people getting all anxious and fearful about what could happen or what the future could be or what be getting at them, you know, and sometimes we give so much power to the enemy because we become afraid. But greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. So how do we recognize false prophets? By what they say and by who listens to them. Are they declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord? And are they saying stuff that actually makes you sit up? Or is the world listening and saying, well, that sounds pretty good to me. Yeah, we can go along with that. Who's listening? To help us, we have the Holy Spirit. Oops. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God's Word. And we have each other. So get over yourselves. With all these resources at hand, we can discern what is of God and what is not. Now, I'm going to show you a video clip in a moment. And you remember the film Castaway with Tom Hanks in it? That amazing soliloquy of a film. Soliloquy being solo act. Just amazing. I mean, the romantic in me at times think, well, that would be cool. I'd like that for 5 minutes. So FedEx in America made an ad, and I'd just like us to watch it.
So do I just push
again? No, push them. I think I might be wanting to say some naughty words, wouldn't you? You see, like the contents of that box, we have the resources for growth, strength, and discernment. And they're available for everyone who chooses to follow Jesus. You see, he faithfully looked after the box. I don't think I could have held it for 5 years. I would have wanted to have had a look at it. Something would have taken over. But anyway, he had all the resources to have actually been off that island with a matter of hours of being there. But he didn't know. And you have all the resources, all that God has for you. You have it in His Word, you have it by His Spirit, and you have it with each other. The question always is, are we choosing to follow Jesus? Are we choosing to take advantage of all that He has given us? The prophetic is such an amazingly important gift, as uncomfortable as it might be. And we can dismiss it out of hand too easily, simply because it makes us uncomfortable. But unless we are attending to the voice of God, and His prophets and His word will declare that, we'll miss out on a resource so really important in keeping us on the course that God has set for us. Father, we thank You that You have met in us all that we need to grow, to become strong, to be discerning followers of You, faithful to Jesus who is Lord and Sovereign. And we thank You for the way in which John laid this sort of stuff out in his letter, and we can hear it and capture it. And Lord, forgive us for holding on to stuff and hiding it, or never opening the resource You've given us. But help us then to take hold of what You've given and utilize it, that we would become strong as Your disciples, faithfully following You, and that our lives would be marked by Your life, and we would declare by the way we live, by the things we say, that there is hope in our day and certainty in the midst of the confusions and uncertainty. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.